So turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 9. There is a warning that is expressed in the last verse of chapter 8 that we want to begin with. And from that we'll move into the ninth chapter. In verse 13 of chapter 8, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The angels, knowing full well what is contained in these final judgments of God, thinking about it and anticipating it, express this warning, and I guess I should have worked hard on this, that it's more than a warning. It's almost like a regret of the severe punishment and penalty that was about to come upon the earth. And notice an interesting phrase that occurs before this. It says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's an interesting way to put it. Today there are those who choose to inhabit the earth. And their life and everything they hope and dream about is right here. That's it. And they've chosen the earth. And context with a pre-tribulational rapture, this gives us something interesting to think about. Because those of us who have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and have welcomed it and have confessed our sins and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have chosen to be His, and we have chosen to take His view of this world and His view of this life. And as a result, before this time of great judgment comes, He in His compassion comes and takes His children to Himself. The scripture said that we do not experience those days of His wrath. But those who have chosen to inhabit the earth, this is what they may anticipate. This is what's coming. And it is a frightful thing. It is a dangerous thing. It is a deplorable thing. God, in His mercy, has warned this world about sin. God is not slack concerning His promises, said Peter, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He knows what the cost of His wrath will be upon this earth. And understand that He experienced the wrath of His Father against sin on the cross so that we wouldn't have to experience it. But those who are rejecting Him today will experience His wrath. And what a terrible, terrible consequence that is. Let's pray before we consider it together. Our Father, as we open Your Word together today, we pray that by Your Spirit You would speak to us and instruct us. And Lord, today, My real goal is that we will understand why You've revealed this to us. Why You have allowed us to know what this future will hold. While it is not our future, it is not what we will experience, yet it is what the men and women and boys and girls of this world will experience who reject Your grace. So, Father, challenge us with this truth, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, join me in chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. One of the first things that we want to see about these last two trumpets. Now, I say the last two, 5 and 6, because the seventh is all of the vials that are coming. But these last two trumpets are very unusual. The first four were of more of a natural variety, hail and fire, the sea being turned to blood, fresh water being poisoned, and one-third of this world's light being diminished. But here, in the fifth and sixth trumpet judgments, we see some very unusual creatures attacking unbelievers only. Now, you say, Pastor, what do you mean? I thought all the believers are raptured out. Yes, they are all raptured out. But the gospel has continued to be preached. And through this period of time, there will be, I hope, millions of people who will bow and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they will be spared from these judgments. It is so well illustrated in what happened in Egypt when the first of the judgments that were brought upon Egypt affected both the Israelites and the Egyptians. But as the severity increased, the Lord drew a line between Egypt and his own people. And the later judgments did not affect his people. And here in the tribulation, the later judgments, as they become so incredibly intense, God preserves his own from that. He has them marked with a mark. And we'll see some things of that later as we study through Revelation. But right now we understand that that's what he does. Now, first of all, these unusual creatures find their origin in the bottomless pit. They are brought up out of that pit. But I forgot. I wanted to talk to you about something before we get there. And that is this, that unbelief is a culpable and punishable sin. We need to understand that. Unbelief is just not a natural state that exists between people who don't believe and people who do believe. And it's not something that's just intellectual of nature. Unbelief is a choice against God that is made cognitively. And it is a wicked thing to do. To choose to deny the reality of God. You can look at Romans 1, 18 through about 23. And it relates this nature of unbelief. But it is something that is incredibly wicked, stubborn, recalcitrant, and it cries out for the punishment of God. And this punishment comes in such an unusual way. And its origin is out of this bottomless pit. Turn with me back to the book that precedes Revelation, the book of Jude, and the 6th verse. And you'll see the origin of these creatures. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. It is my observation that these wicked angels who followed Lucifer in his opposition to God have been placed away in this pit for now some 5,000 years. And there they have been brooding and seething in their hatred. And the day will come when these spiritual creatures will be loosed in the form of these kind of locusts that are described to us. And you say to me, Pastor, you really believe that there are going to be creatures like this that are going to be loosed out of a pit here on earth that are going to do this? And I say, you bet I believe it. The book says it. It describes them in detail. Terrible creatures. Agents of punishment. Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. There's those people of God who are separated from this. And what's the result of the activity of these creatures? And to them was given that they should not kill them. The sting of these creatures won't kill you. It will just torment you. But they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Folks, understand with me that there's going to be the day when the Flathead Valley, along with the rest of the earth, is just inundated with these creatures. I think of them in terms of those nasty things that we hate that come along in late August and early September. Help me with that. Those bees that we had at your house. The yellow jackets. You know, Doris, you got stung by one there. These things are going to come in and they are just going to torment. And you know, I was concerned about Doris when she got bit by that yellow jacket, but about 3 days later, she was just fine. This is 5 months of torment that is so devastating that they wish they could die. Understand with me, God's righteous anger over unbelief. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice is gone throughout all the earth. God has revealed himself. And when man chooses to ignore that revelation, he becomes culpable to the judgment of God. God is coming to judge that. It is not just the overt sins of men that we can, you know, identify and look upon throughout our nation, whether it be the miserable things that happen in Ferguson and the way people act, or the act of terrorists and all of that stuff. Unbelief is a crime that cannot be overlooked. And will receive the judgment of God. And then they're fully described to us in verse 7 through 12. But let's move on and see the sixth trumpet. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loosed the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay a third part of the men. Isn't this something, the timing schedule that God has? Folks, this is all laid out. This is set. It's on the calendar in heaven. It's not if this is going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen on the day that He has proclaimed it will happen. He just hasn't told us which day. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. If I have that right, that's 200 million. And thus I saw the horses and the vision of them that sat on them having breastplates, and it describes them. You can read through and see the description of them. But by this particular plague, a third of the men are going to be killed. I think that's a reference to a third of mankind. I don't think it's just men. I think it's men, women, boys, and girls are going to be killed. If you compare that with chapter 6, verse 8, at this particular point, half of the earth's population has died. In less than 7 years, half of the earth's population is dead. Scriptures say at this particular time, man will become more scarce than gold. Verse 18, for by these was a third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, where I want to get you to this morning is to verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues fell on their faces, begged God's mercy, and worshiped Him for His great power. Well, that's what you would expect, wouldn't you? Don't we think that somehow, if we could just explain the gospel to people right, they would understand it and they would get saved? It's the only smart thing to do. Unbelief is not an intellectual problem. Unbelief is sin. It's a moral issue. It's a choice to reject the reality of God. And that's why it's culpable to such judgments. What will these people do? It is unthinkable. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. They would not repent of their materialism or of their immorality. Folks, the two things that really characterize our world today, materialism and immorality, is something that our world is bound to irreversibly in their stubbornness. I ask you, what do we do when we are faced with a world that is so tied to their own taste for materialism and immorality that even judgments of this nature will not divert them? What do we do? Do we incorporate their taste for entertainment and reduce the call for holiness in a silly attempt to lure them into repentance? But is that not what we find ourselves doing in Christianity today? Doing everything we can to somehow win the favor and please the world so to somehow reach into their hearts with the gospel? The problem is their recalcitrant heart. our world has become bound in its godlessness. I say to you this morning, it is lives of light and holiness that are necessary to awake the covetousness of sin, the consciousness of sin. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a soul problem. It's not enough to say something different. We need to look different. We need to look like the people of God. As I've looked upon and pondered this text this week, I've asked myself, why do we have such a revelation? Why is it here? And why has God said specifically what He has said? What can it be apart from revealing the absolute recalcitrant or stubborn heart of unbelief? That is what we're dealing with. These final judgments of God reveal to us the nature of what we deal with as we preach the gospel. Understand this in the right context. This world is not a bunch of good people that just need a more moderate and attractive alternative. They are a rebellious host. Quietly in their hearts, they just want their own way. And that's the issue. And they will not turn from it. They want heaven and forgiveness without cost. The cost of repentance, humility, and submission. How do we deal with that? Let me take you to this quickly and then I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 2, a text we looked at last week, but the last five verses or four verses we didn't look at. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow. Isn't that interesting? Follow righteousness. Timothy, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Timothy, live a pure, godly life. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive and argue, beg and push and pry, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. What a classic verse of Scripture this is in reference to what we're talking about. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Oh, that's our prayer. That God would offer to our children and to our neighbors and to our family the blessed knowledge of Himself and grant them repentance that they might be saved. I think maybe we should work less at evangelism and pray more about it. For the souls of this world, that they would be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it just burns our heart to know what lies ahead of the unbeliever, and this is just the tip of it. What terrible consequences there is for unbelief. Lord, grant that we may present to You our bodies holy, acceptable, that You might use us today in an evangelistic way to reach our children, our loved ones, our friends, and our neighbors with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray.